Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Thank you guys. Awesome. Wonderful. Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Welcome if you're watching from home. Welcome up there in the nosebleed section. Hey, glad that you're here this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday, and it's also almost the beginning of... Yeah, VBS. So we're excited about that. Talk a little bit more about that later this morning. I got to be, for the first time, a part of dance recital yesterday. So, you know, the dance recital starts at 6:30. You know what that means? You got to be there at 4:30. And then it goes to 9:30. Anyway, it really was wonderful. So here, we have a picture, maybe. Okay, so this is us. See how we're having a great time? Look at Judah. But it really was great. This is, 9:30, 9:45 last night. It's been a long day for everybody. You guys that are a part of that know. But River, so she gets all these flowers. And so she's holding all the flowers. And she says, you know, we're taking the picture. She says, I can't hold them. They're too many. You know, so listen, this morning, God wants to give you too much. God wants to give you more than you can hold of Himself. The very gift of God, the gift of His Spirit, He wants to give Himself to you today. And I hope we're all saying by the end of the day, it's too much. I can't hold it. You know what? You're not supposed to hold it. You're supposed to share it. Give Him, give His Spirit away to others. That's what we're talking about today. So look, announcements-wise, really VBS, this whole thing, we're going to talk about that in Missions Minute. So let's do our mission statement together. Y'all ready? Hadn't done this in a while. St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. We're committed to reach, grow, and send forth fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Y'all, this morning, I want to ask you to greet each other. We haven't done that in forever. So here's your instructions, only if you're comfortable, right? One handshake, two hands on the back, and only if you're willing, a hug from somebody. All right, ready? Greet each other. Okay, y'all be seated. We're going to start this morning. This is a wonderful, if you don't know, Pentecost is the birth of the church. And so this morning, the choir's going to sing a really pretty song, a beautiful song, inviting God's presence. Before they do, can we sing Happy Birthday? To the church. Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to the church. Happy birthday.
The choir really makes that sound good. That's great. Look, happy birthday not just to the church called St. Luke's, but to the church universal. Happy birthday to the church not just in this world, all over this world in 2022, but happy birthday to the church, you know, from all times and all places. And so we're going to talk about the birth. And I got five little birthday candles up here. We're not going to blow them out. We're going to let them stand for the presence of the Spirit this morning, okay? All right. Y'all, that's why we are here today, to behold the King. Not to just see Him, but to behold Him, to embrace Him. Thank y'all for leading us in worship. I was supposed to somehow come out of the tent, but I couldn't figure out how to get in the tent without y'all knowing I was in. Anyway, okay, I didn't make it. Okay. All right. Hear and receive the Word of God this morning. And we've been meeting as leaders. Some one of the things we've been talking about, I know we stand when we read God's Word, and we don't do that lightly. We do because the Word of God has authority over our lives. And we find out who God is and who we are in His Word. And when I say that, I'm not winking. This really is the Word of God for the people of God. Receive Him today. This is Acts chapter 2, our birthday documents. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What in the world does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, mocked them, and said, "They have had too much wine." By the way, when's the last time somebody looked at the way you were worshiping God and said, "Man, they have had too much wine"? My hunch is most of us haven't had that said about us. Most of us, we got the thermostats turned down right where we feel comfortable. And I would say to us this morning, what would it take for somebody to see something happening in us that they know that God is at work in us and through us? Lord Jesus, this morning, let this word become alive in us. Jesus, we pray and we ask for what you did 2,000 years ago to come and do it again. For Pentecost not just to be something of long ago, but for Pentecost, the coming of your Spirit, to be something for us even here this very morning. Something for this world this very morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be seated. So, okay, I got my birthday candles up here. Five P's about the birthday of the church 2,000 years ago. The five P's of God's Spirit, what has to happen for God's Spirit to once again come and powerfully move upon us, work within us this very morning. The first P is Pentecost. That's the first P. Pentecost, that was the day that the Spirit came. The most populated feast celebrated in the Jewish people in the first century, it wasn't Passover. It seems like it should be. It was Pentecost, because the weather was a little nicer in late spring and early summer, and they were able to come. And so they came. Jewish people came from all over the then known world so that God's people could be called to a time of remembrance. Pentecost called the people to remember when God came down on Mount Sinai to meet with Moses and gave him the law, which included those 10 commandments hand-carved by God himself on 2 tablets of stone. God came down to Moses, who looks a lot like Charlton Heston, but that's another story. Okay. And the festival of Pentecost was also a time of thanksgiving and celebration as the people of God gave thanks to God for those first fruits of the harvest. Now, if you're a wheat farmer or around wheat farmers, right, then you know that right now in the U.S., the wheat harvest has already begun. And so from now, for the next couple of months, that wheat harvest will work all the way up to the southern border of Canada. In Judea, Pentecost was when the very first fruits of the harvest had been gathered in, and they gathered to say thank you. So Pentecost of old is about remembrance and celebration. In the first century, they remembered God coming down on the mountain to give Moses the law. But now, Pentecost, and even this morning, Pentecost has become not a remembrance of the past, but a time of being made new in the present. Now in Acts 2, the coming of God's Spirit on Pentecost has become not about what God once did in human history long ago, but rather about the redefinition and the renewal of our very identity that God is doing here and now, even this very morning. Pentecost in Acts 2 and Pentecost in LBK 2022 is not just about what God has done in the past, not just what God did for Moses, not just what God did for his people 3,400 years ago, but what God wants to do in you and me this very day. Pentecost today is about far more than the first fruits of some mere annual wheat harvest. Pentecost is about the birth of the church and about the very first fruits that were gathered together in that upper room. You know, it was 12 and it was 120 and then it was 3,000 that very first day. And now the believers of Jesus, followers of Jesus, are 2 billion in this world in which we live. My brothers and sisters, Pentecost, not a religious festival to celebrate days gone by, but a vital experience of God's Spirit for today. They needed that Pentecost 2,000 years ago, and we, you and me, need a new and powerful Pentecost, a new and powerful coming of God's Spirit to us this very morning. I hope you long for that. I hope you are in touch with that, that we need something different to happen in this church, in this world, than what we see happening all around us, okay? Second P that we learn about the birthday of the church is prayer. Prayer, this great availability and eager anticipation that we see in the book of Acts. Acts 2:1, they were all together in one place. But what were they doing in that one place? And what had they been doing all together there? Look back at Acts chapter 1. It kind of gives us a bigger picture. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Towards the end of Jesus' time still on planet Earth. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then verse 14, this is exactly what they did after Jesus ascended into heaven. They all joined together constantly, continually in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with Jesus' brothers. Now, this is a really big deal. They had an availability to God and an expectation of what God was going to do. So 10 days had elapsed from Ascension to Pentecost, right? Last Thursday would have been Day of Ascension, today's Pentecost. My hunch is that those days had both flown by and dragged by. Kind of like my grandkids, Judah and Augie, as they waited for their birthday party all week long. Finally, it came yesterday. We had a great party. It was yesterday morning. We had water gun fights. We had, water balloon fights. We were so cold. Yesterday morning was kind of cold. Made a little campfire. We had the campfire. And then we had the pinata where everybody got to hit the pinata. They're using a real baseball bat. I don't know about the wisdom of that, but a real baseball bat. And so finally, Shepherd's kind of the tallest or oldest there. So he gets his turn at the pinata. And so he's blindfolded. He takes a really wonderful, fundamentally sound baseball swing, and they raise up the pinata. He misses it. What's that make him do? Swing even harder. So he swings even harder. He gets the pinata. The pinata falls. He's blindfolded. He's still swinging. What do you think the kids are doing when the pinata breaks? They're coming. Whoa! That was one of the scariest moments of my life. So anyway, God protected all the children anyway. You know what? That kind of anticipation that little children feel for their birthday, at least that is what those early believers were experiencing and longing. The attitude of the church during that time should be carefully noted. They obeyed explicitly Jesus' command to wait for the power from on high. They prayed, they waited, they worshiped, they clung together with unifying expectancy. This is what the pastor and theologian Alexander McLaren said over a century ago. He said they must have been wrought to an intense pitch of anticipation, for they knew that their waiting was to be short, and they knew at least partially what they were to receive, namely power from on high and the promise of the Father. So very early on that day of Pentecost, they betook themselves, that's a great way to say it, they betook themselves to their usual place of assembling, probably the large upper room already hallowed to their memories, and in each heart the eager question would spring, will today be the day? Will today be, will now be the time? Will today be the day? It's as true now as it was then that the spirits into whom the Holy Spirit breathes his power must keep themselves still, expectant, and prayerful. Perpetual occupation, busyness, may be more loss of time than is devout waiting. With hands folded. You know, our hands not full with all the stuff that we're doing, but simply folded and surrendered to God, because the heart is wide open to receive the power which will fit the hands for better work. In other words, what is the Lord's preference? How do you seek the Lord? You know, is our hands busy doing all the things of God, or our hearts surrendered, open, seeking Him, waiting on Him, expectant, open to Him? Is Jesus looking for us to be busy for God or available to God? When's the last time you just stopped? Well, I mean, when's the last time you just stopped and gave Jesus 30 minutes? Or maybe an hour? I don't know, maybe a morning, or maybe an afternoon, maybe an evening, maybe a whole night. When's the last time you just made yourself that available to God? They had been seeking, praying, expectantly waiting on the Spirit of Jesus for 10 days. Is it any wonder that God showed up? I mean, some of you have been to Walk to Emmaus. It's 72 hours long. It's a great experience. If you have been, wonderful. You know it is. If you haven't been, please go. You know, but the Walk to Emmaus, it's 72 hours. And I always say to folks, you know, if you went and sat under a tree for 72 hours, God would show up there. You know, we take kids by the dozens, by the scores, to church camp every summer. And what happens there is that they devote themselves, like Acts 2:42, they devote themselves to apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. And guess what? 5 days of that, and God shows up. See, I would say most of us don't have those venues going on in our lives where we just make ourselves available, expectantly seeking the presence of God. Y'all, that's what we're going to do at VBS tomorrow, oh my word, 8 a.m. I think DeLee will just sleep here. Anyway, y'all, we just need to expect God to do great things. And the children, they're going to be doing apostles teaching the Bible. And they're going to be doing fellowship. We're going to be in these groups where we're actually loving and caring for each other. And we're going to do this thing called breaking of bread, a.k.a. worship and praise. And we are going to pray. Y'all, we expect God to show up here. But I ask you this morning, in your own life, is He showing up in your life? If He's not showing up, if you're not experiencing His power, His presence, His purpose, then I guess my real question, my first, maybe my only question is, are you really, really seeking Him? Are you really, really wanting Him? I don't think God's trying to play hide and seek with us. He's waiting for us to avail ourselves to His availability. Third P in the birthday of the church, for the Holy Spirit to once again come and work in us, is presence in symbolic reality. Now, I say this because this, there's wind here and there's fire here, but I don't think they're just symbols. I think there really was wind and fire. I mean, I think that's what really happened. So symbolic reality. Go back and look at verse 2 and 3. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw, so they've already heard, felt, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Wind, sound like a mighty rushing. I mean, look, if I was preaching somewhere else, we'd have to talk about wind. We get wind out here, you know. I mean, we understand wind in West Texas. We can see wind not just in the shaking of the leaves or the bending of the trees, but in the coming of the dust. I mean, we got wind. And truth be told, many of us here this morning have been close enough to tornadoes or close enough to the turbulent rotation of thunderstorms that we really have heard the, We've at least seen it on Twister, the movie, right? I mean, by the way, I'm preaching on this, and last night I dreamed this whole thing. Janie, this was like you and I are driving from Ross to Lorenzo. Why? I don't know. We're coming back to Lubbock, and there's this thunderstorm. We're driving into it. We're chit-chatting. We're not even aware of the weather. But we get about halfway between Ross and Lorenzo, and there is that exact tornado that was over there by Morton. Some of y'all's family, you saw that. It's a quarter mile wide. It's coming across 114. You know, it's like we turn for you were driving, Janie. And so Janie turns around, and we start going to Ross, right? And there in Ross, there's this two-story thing. I know it has it's a restaurant. They do not have a two-story restaurant in Ross, let me just say. In fact, I don't even know George's is in. Anyway, we get there, we get down in the hole, and sure enough, the tornado comes. All that's left, right, is the basement. And so I had that whole dream I'm talking about, because we know what the sound of a rushing mighty wind sounds like. We get it. But the sound of a rushing wind here in Acts 2 is not like the earthly winds that we're familiar with. This wind of Pentecost doesn't come to destroy, but rather to give life. This wind that they heard is not accompanied by debris blowing about or by buildings being knocked down or by hats blowing off. This wind, this mighty rushing wind, is the very sound of God making contact and connection with those gathered in that long ago upper room. That's Him showing up to love us and feel us. You see, in the Hebrew and Greek, the word for wind and the word for breath, that is the exact same word. In Hebrew, it's ruach. In Greek, it's pneuma. So just as God breathed His breath into Adam and Eve in the very beginning, now He breathes, He blows His very ruach, His pneuma, into those early Christ followers, into us who are available to Him this morning. He doesn't blow upon us. He blows His Spirit within us. The Pentecostal wind of Acts 2 is not wind circling around, but wind pouring in. Y'all, don't miss that wind. Acts 2:2 says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and that sound of wind, that breath of God, that very presence of God Himself filled the entire house where they were sitting. May such a wind blow into this house. But please, the point is not that it's around us, but it's within us. On that day of Pentecost, they didn't just hear and feel the wind of God, they saw. They saw the very fire of God. Verse 3. They saw what appeared to be, tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. In Matthew 3:11, this was what John the Baptist prophesied about Jesus. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to carry His sandals. And He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire. Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. Throughout the Old Testament, fire represents the presence of God. Remember, Moses has his face-to-face encounter with God when God made Himself known to Moses where? In fire, in the burning bush that burned but never was consumed. Later, God will once again meet with Moses in the fire of Mount Sinai. This is Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. Fire. Y'all, we know too much about fire too. I mean, all through New Mexico, all through those wildfires burn. And when they burn, they consume everything in their path. Whatever they touch is transformed. It's changed. That's what's happening here. There's the fire of God. Now in Acts 2, God is coming again, making himself known in fire. But this time, God is not coming to just one man on some mountaintop. Now he's coming to all people. This time, God is not giving his people his written law. This time, he's giving his people his very self, his very Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. That's why the day of ascension matters so much to us. That day, 10 days before Pentecost, because Jesus goes from here to there, to the very right hand of God, so he can go from there to everywhere. You see, when Jesus was on planet Earth, he could only be right in one place at one time. He could only be, you know, I don't know, down by the Sea of Galilee. Or he could only be, you know, out in Bethany. Or he could only be talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. He could only be in one place at one time. But when he goes from here to there, now he can pour out his Spirit everywhere. So this morning, wherever followers of Jesus are gathered, that's where he is. All around this world, all around this city, every church here in Lubbock, every home where they're having some Bible study or praise meeting or prayer meeting, that's where he is. Now the very Spirit of Jesus is dwelling in us. The fire of God was with the people of God in the wilderness. His presence was around them, but now via his Holy Spirit, the very presence of Jesus is within them. Much, much more could be said about the fire of God, but what we need to notice for sure this morning is that on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 verse 3, that the fire of God, the presence of God, came to rest on each one of them. The temple of God is no longer in Jerusalem. The dwelling of God is no longer merely in the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. According to Acts 2 and according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, you and I, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who now dwells in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own, because that Holy Spirit, he doesn't come to just be resident in you, he comes to be present of you. And the Holy Spirit, the God, is a consuming fire, so when he comes, he doesn't come to just show up in your life, he comes to take over your life. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body, with your life. You and I are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, do you have an experience of the very wind and the very fire of God in your lives? Have you received the very breath and fire of God into your lives? For some of us, we are down in the basement. We are safe from the wind, you know. We hear the wind of the Spirit blowing around us and we are hunkering down, man. You know why? We want to stay in control. We're afraid if we get blown to and fro or blown in and out, we won't be who we think we want to be. And some of us have built these, we have these built-in firewalls where the fire of God may be all around us, but we're safe. We're safe from his influence. We've worked years on getting it just the way we want it, where we're in control and we still can talk a little bit about that God thing. I would never, ever tell you to run toward a tornado. Never ever tell you to run to the fire in the physical realm. But I am inviting you to seek his wind, his breath, his Spirit, to desire the fire of his Spirit in your life this morning and every morning. To really be storm chasers and not chasing the storm, but chasing the wind, chasing him, putting yourself in a place where you're not away from him, but available to him. If your faith has gotten dull and boring, if your relationship with God feels nominal and impotent, then something, someone is missing. By the way, you can't experience the wind and fire of God without being changed. Remember, our God is a consuming fire. Fire changes everything it touches. Fire changes, the fire of God's Spirit changes our identity from the inside out. By the way, I heard a story this week of an usher, not our usher, Clint. I heard this story this week of an usher who'd been serving in a certain church for 46 years. And so someone said to him, "Goodness me, over those 46 years, you must have seen so many changes." He said, "Yes, I have, and I've resisted every single one of them." Change. When the Spirit comes, there will always be change, transformation. Nikki Gumbel tells the story of when he went to speak at Stopsley Baptist Church outside of London on Pentecost Sunday. He said that at the end of the service that we invited the Holy Spirit to come and to fill all the people who were there. And I remember just this extraordinary scene, he said, where people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what struck me particularly, he said, were two people on whom the Spirit of God had come with particular power. So much so that they were actually laying on the floor. They were right in front of me, he said, and one was a little old lady with white hair. He said, I don't think she'd mind me saying that she was an old lady because I met her daughter at the end of the service and her daughter was 75 years old. So there was this white-haired older lady lying on the floor, just being filled with the Holy Spirit. And next to her was an 8-year-old boy, who was laughing and smiling and filled with joy and obviously having an amazing time with God. And Nikki said it was so unusual because he heard this little boy laughing. It was a laugh like he really had never heard before. It was a very sweet and kind. He called it just a pleasant laugh. Sometime later, Nikki said the mother wrote a letter to him and she said this about her son. She said, "My son had been quite difficult, bad-tempered, and naughty on occasion. Since his encounter with the Spirit, he's become a very different person, much sunnier, more helpful, kinder, anxious to please." Now, she said, obviously, he's 8 years old. He has his moments. But she said, "There is no doubt that he is different. Not something a child of 8 can sustain in his own strength over any period of time. It was an amazing night," she said. "A night with God touching many of my friends, as well as my husband, my daughter, my 2 sons, and myself, in powerful and what can only be described as refreshing, renewing, and equipping ways." Don't you want God to come like that in your life? Here's the promise. This is how Peter explains what God is doing in the day of Pentecost. He pulls out the prophet Joel. He says this, "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below." What do we want? This is not for a select few, but for all people. For the 95-year-old woman and the 8-year-old boy and everybody in between. Come, Holy Spirit. The fourth P for our birthday cake this morning is power. Power from on high. Acts 2:4. You got to see what happens. All of them. So this is a pretty good day. All of them. Not 80% or 50%, not just the one, I see that hand. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them or empowered them. Here were these unschooled believers from Galilee. These unschooled followers of Jesus with no ability whatsoever to be multilingual. Zero chance of speaking another language. And then the Holy Spirit came, and they began to do what they had no ability to do. So out of their weakness, out of their lack of skill, out of their complete human inadequacy, I get that one. Out of their weakness came this bold and beautiful dynamic proclamation of the works of God. These empty and hungry, not trained, not educated seekers of God are now filled with the very power of God to be His witnesses. Y'all remember Acts 1:8, right? That you will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Dunamis, divine enablement. Dunamis, the power to do what I cannot do. What I cannot do on my own, now by the presence, the dunamis of God, by the Spirit, now I will do. Beautiful, wonderful daughter of God named Joyce is a part of our church. She's a wonderful servant leader in our church. And when Joyce received the Holy Spirit 4 decades or so ago, the Holy Spirit gave her the power. The power to forgive the unforgivable. The power to forgive her husband. And that one movement of the Holy Spirit in her life changed the trajectory of her family for forever. My best friend Tony growing up, we were from diapers all the way to graduating high school together in Lorenzo. And when Tony came to Christ and he was filled with God's Spirit, God gave him the power over the addiction that had radically destroyed his life for years. When my brother Kerry came to Christ, was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was given the power not just to know about God, but the power to actually love and serve Jesus. The power to actually walk in the ways of God rather than the ways of this world. And so if you had known my brother, you know, B.C., before Christ, and A.C., or after A.H.S., after the Holy Spirit, all you would know is that God was real. There was no denying the power of God in his life. So when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive dunamis, power. All of us probably are in touch with all the can'ts of our life. No, I just can't love them. They have hurt me too much. I just can't share with them. I just don't have confidence to share with them what I need to share with them. No, I can't forgive them for what they've done. No, Lord, I can't do that thing called VBS. You know, I can't do whatever it is, right? All of us know our can'ts. But I don't care what your can'ts are this morning. God's can is greater than your can'ts. Final P in our birthday cake for the church. Final P that is needed for Pentecost to once again be known in our church and in us this morning is purpose. They were all filled. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So my question for us this morning is this being filled with the Spirit thing just a long ago Bible thing? Or is it God's design and desire for every single one of us here this morning? Is Pentecost, the coming of God's Spirit filling His sons and daughters, just a one-time experience we have a long time ago, maybe when we were a kid or a youth? Or is the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, a continual need and reality for all of us? Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit here in Acts 2:4. Acts 2:4, right? We've already heard it multiple times. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:8, Peter and John are arrested. They're standing before the Sanhedrin, the very group of people that sentenced Jesus to death. And Acts 4 says that Peter was filled with the Spirit. And he began to speak boldly about Jesus to those who had had Jesus crucified. Then there's Acts 4:31. After Peter and John are released from prison, the Sanhedrin doesn't know what to do with them, and they just turn them loose. And so they have this, the bunch of believers get together, they have this prayer and praise meeting, and then this is what happened. This is Acts 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So Peter, I don't know, this is probably within a couple of weeks of each other, Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit three times. Now, you know, all I learned from this is Peter and Andy and all of us, we leak. We are not these perfectly formed containers that get the Spirit in and he never goes out, right? We leak. And we spend the gifts of the Spirit, and we get depleted, and we need. When your car runs out of gas, what do? You fill it up. When your spirit gets empty of the Spirit, what do? So I ask you this morning, how is your spiritual gas gauge? Do you have are you half tank, quarter tank? You're running on empty, or are you ready to fill, to be filled up? Nicky Gumbel tells the story about the heater they have in their house. He says this: "We have an old gas boiler in our house, and the pilot light is on all the time." Ooh, that's pilot light, I guess. Anyway. But the boiler is not always giving out heat and power, right? Y'all know when the boiler and the furnace is on because it's... The same is true for many of us spiritually. Some of us only got the pilot light of the Holy Spirit. We only have the pilot light of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Whereas when people are filled... with the Holy Spirit, they begin to fire on all cylinders. He says, if you'll forgive my mixing metaphors. When you look at those folks, you can almost see and feel the difference between ooh and ooh. Man, don't you want God's Spirit to come and work in you in such a mighty way that when people see you and know you and are in relationship with you, they go, I don't know what's going on in him or her, but I want some of that. I want some of him. What about you this morning? Is Pentecost just for 2,000 years ago? Or is Pentecost for us today? I wish I had time to tell you about the Moravian Pentecost that happened in Herrnhut in 1727. I wish I had time to tell you about John Wesley's New Year's Eve prayer party in 1738. I wish I had time to tell you about the profound spiritual awakening that happened in the Hebrides Islands in 1949. I wish I had time to tell you about the Asbury Revival that began on Asbury College campus in February 3rd, 1970 and didn't stop for over a week. I wish I had time to tell you about not this canyon, but another little canyon called Cedar Canyon, another little Methodist church camp where the manifest presence of God met me and changed me, has changed lives and changed families and changed futures and thus changed the very world. I just want you to know this morning that Jesus is still in the Pentecost business. Still in the business of pouring out his very Spirit into you, into me. Lord, come. Not let us just sing songs about you or songs that reference you in the third person, but let us sing songs of love and adoration to you. As we let you come and fill us with your very self, your very Spirit, even this morning. Y'all, we come to communion. This is a table of grace. This is a table that symbolizes the radical love of Jesus for us. And so we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks to his Father and he broke the bread. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And once again, he gave thanks to his Father. He poured the cup. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. So y'all, this morning when you come, you get a little taste, right? You get a little piece of bread and a little dip of juice. Or you get a little wafer that I don't know what it's made of and a little bit of juice, right? But it's just a taste. This morning, Lord, symbolically we're tasting, we're sampling But Lord, we're hungering for more. Not for a taste, but for a filling. A filling of your grace and your love and your Holy Spirit. So Lord, this morning come. Come and fill the hearts of your people, your sons and your daughters. Spirit of the living God, this morning, come and fall afresh on us. What you did 2,000 years ago, do again. As we, your sons and your daughters, just take a taste. Let us also receive more than a taste. Let us receive you this very day. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.